Sam Whipper on Nova.
Don't want to hear from people 13, 24, 10 if you get into your horoscopes. I mean, what kind of music do you play in the background when we talk horoscopes? Is it scary kind of music there, Leno? Or what have you got?
I don't know. Just a generic bed.
It freaks me out a little bit. I don't know. Because some people get into it so much that it affects relationships.
Yeah. Are you concerned that the stars above could be guiding you and you're losing control?
To be honest, personally, I think it's a load of crap.
My wife reads it and then we'll be reading the paper, like it'll be in Body and Soul or something, and then she'll go, oh, my lucky number is 12. I go, well, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? I got 12. Oh, last week it was
12 blokes. 12 guys.
Salim hasn't had a shout out for a while, has he?
Oh, Salim, if he is listening from prison right now, mate, a big shout out to you and the Mahajas.
One call, mate. Give us a buzz. Do you know what? You and I are Librans. And yes. You know, when I talk about Librans, it says here, you veer towards acting like a vain, idle, flopsy, incapable of making up your mind type of guy. You procrastinate.
Flopsy?
Flopsy. You are intensely annoying. Interesting feedback from the star sign this morning. Just give us a lucky number, mate.
So anyway, a woman called Christine over in Portland in Oregon, she was looking for a house. Yeah. Now, she just wanted one room. She wanted to rent it out. She was prepared to pay. And she was pretty confident. She goes, I'm going to get this place. She met with a lady who had the house. And unfortunately, she received an email back saying, hi, Christine. Sorry I haven't responded earlier. My concern is that you're a Capricorn. Our main goal is to keep things egalitarian without anyone being in charge or domineering the household. I love Capricorns, but I don't think I could live with one.
Oh, jeez.
This Virgo / Gemini house is a special place where soft, mutable signs get to run free, untethered by cardinal authorities.
This is getting weird.
I wish you well on your search and hope you're doing okay.
Okay.
I reckon she's dodged a bullet there, Christine.
Francis Bevins applied, which was a strange twist of the story.
Oh, man. People do look into this.
Yep.
A lot.
Because some star signs are meant to connect with other star signs. I think Librans are meant to connect with Leos or something like that. Yeah. But it's like putting two stallions in a paddock sometimes if you try and link a Sagittarius with a Cancer. I don't know.
Can we? If Sarah's, had the baby this morning, 30th of April, what does that fall in, Tom? Can you find out what horoscope that is?
Let's find out.
What star sign?
What are you, MDG?
Sagittarius, mate, yes.
Saggies, here we go.
Horse.
Oh, clumsy and very possible, in every possible sense of the word, a verbal and emotional and physical hooligan.
You are
crashing around, causing uproar and offence.
Yeah, we're out of that.
You are a little bit clumsy, though.
That's
is that outrageous? Fair to say?
No, I'm pretty switched on.
You do run into things, mate.
Website has words like flopsy.
This is good.
Like, what kind of credible website are you coming at us from?
Here's the other thing is, your foot and other body parts, are frequently in your mouth. It's unbelievable where they don't belong.
Sagittarius, you are half horse, aren't you?
I don't know if you're reading the right website here.
I'm on militarymen.com.
I did always look at the Sagittarius guy and go, I want to be that guy.
Why? Were they good?
Well,
were they the good guy?
He had a bow and arrow, and he also was half horse.
No.
I tell you what, he's knocking over scales pretty easy.
What is Sarah's?
Sarah's, her baby will be a Taurus.
Oh, welcome to Dullsville.
That's a bull, isn't it?
That is the bull. You're right.
Yep. Isn't?
Spot on.
This is a place where very little happens, where people remain stuck in ruts for the rest of their life, for centuries. Their progress is stalled.
We were trying to get our publicist on as well, Kath Mahoney, who is fully into this stuff.
Oh, mate, she keeps a crystal in her bra.
She's got crystals and
I'm
rocks.
Not joking.
Mate, there's a store at Leichhardt. It's a guy, and all he does is sell crystals.
How does he make any money?
I don't know.
Isn't that... I've seen those stalls. And you go, what is in there? Like, who's going in there?
Catherine will send a photo to the group of her crystals outside because she's recharging the crystals.
Yes, that's right.
This woman is responsible for the success of your show.
Did I tell you what my wife did the other day? Came home with a crystal on a roller that you keep in the fridge so it's chilled and then you're meant to rub it on your face and it gets rid of blemishes. What are you talking about?
She's got to get off the crystal, I think. I tell you what, geez, it was a big one last night. And do you know what? I like to tune into 7-2 on a Tuesday night.
7-2, where is that?
7-2, that was when the leaders' debate was on. So oh, yeah. Scott Morrison versus Bill Shorten were leading up to the federal election on May 18.
Yep.
God, mate, I don't know. It's tough when you even before they open their mouths with these two. It's just, I don't know. It's hard to know where the truth is coming from. Yeah.
So you turned on and thought, why am I not watching Lego Masters?
It's, you know what? They had a bit of a crowd in there as well. I didn't see the worm. I always like the worm because then you get to see what Australia is voting. But see, who's watching 7-2 as well? Game of Thrones, people would have been watching that.
Yep.
Lego Masters was on.
Big shows.
So I don't know if the worm would have been working overtime. I think this just sums up the whole leaders' debate because...
Lack of interest.
Well, at the end of each final message, okay, so they got one final message to Australia each. Now, I must admit, the host talked over Scott Morrison, but have a listen to the clap that he receives at the end of his final message.
We've demonstrated our ability to ensure that those times can be managed well for all Australians.
Mr. Shorten, I'll give you the same opportunity to tell voters what they should know about the man sitting next to you.
Geez, they're not standing as one, are they? Small golf clap.
But then it was Bill's turn, and Bill finished with his final message.
Pensioners don't get the fair deal that they deserve. That's the cost of inaction.
You know what you're doing?
It's like when you're at the footy and you look around and you go, oh, okay, all right, you are you clapping? Are you, right, are you well, booing?
Are we on?
I'll just do what everyone else is doing.
It's one of those ones where you're at a pub, right? You're doing best dressed up on stage, right, or something like that, and you go, all right, we've got Darren over here. Yeah. Put your hands together for Darren. And then it's the person with the loudest cheer wins. That's what they're going for.
Out of the audience, they said Bill Shorten won the debate last night. I tell you what, one politician who wouldn't have wanted to turn on his television last night was Steve Dixon from One Nation.
Okay.
We played this promo yesterday on A Current Affair, and we just wanted to find out who.
Caught in the act.
He's so demanding.
The striptease bombshell that's set to rock the election. Who's the hands-on poly and what's he doing in a strip club?
It was the same guy that got stitched up by Al Jazeera, Steve Dixon from One Nation. He went over to Washington to try to get more money out of the NRA and get money and say that we could change the gun laws in Australia if you give us $20 million. Sure. He's come out and denied that. That sort of moved on now, that controversy.
He's done that deal.
And Al Jazeera's just held on to this, held on to it, and then just offloaded it and just done a quick handball to ACA.
Mm-hmm.
So they've played it last night. And it's the same guy who took him over to Washington to meet some of the officials of the NRA. He said, well, why don't we just... the NRL?
Yeah, we're trying to get votes for the NRL. Give us 20 mil.
You're not getting 20 mil out of the NRL.
You're not getting
at the moment.
20 bucks.
That money's being filtered into other areas. Lawyers is one. but he took him to a strip club.
Yep.
But see, I didn't know that this guy was married and was in a family.
Bugger it. The image that I've seen is just of an old bloke sort of attempting to kiss a woman on the breast.
Well, that's right.
He's just sort of leaning in almost as if to...
I don't know if we can, but the audio is not that good.
Put his face in them.
But he was also... can I just say this? I was a bit disgusted because he is married.
Hmm.
And there were quite a few moments where he was putting money into a lady's top.
Cleavage,
and then he was getting a bit of a grope afterwards. And then Lucy and Nicolina, who work on the show, Lucy piped up straight away and goes, yeah, and they were only $1 bills.
Were they? He obviously hadn't done the deal yet, hadn't got his 20 mil. That's why he wanted the cash so I could impress the strippers. Hey, guys, I'll be back.
$1 bills.
Let me give you a quick kiss and I'll be back.
$1. Being a sleazebag, and obviously his wife wouldn't have been too happy as well. He's a tie bump.
God, you stick to 50s, don't you, MDG?
Wouldn't know, mate. Would not
would
know.
Not know. Let's jump on a plane to Mexico, guys.
If you don't mind. Done it, mate. See you in Tijuana.
Is that where you went?
Hey, gringo! Wrong side of the road!
We went to Cancun for a footy trip.
So
once.
You went hard. I didn't.
What's Congo Bongo? Do you remember the nightclub in the movie Mask? You know when he danced, when he turns into the mask and he's that amazing dancer. Cameron Diaz is dazzled by him.
Yeah, okay.
That was a nightclub called Congo Bongo.
How much fun.
Where you could dance on the bar.
I got a dollar Coronas. You know, there was a band that was getting around when I was there just called Sons of Peaches.
Oh, that's not bad.
Everywhere we went, Sons of Beaches was playing. No, there's a few of them.
Yeah. Oh, so this is a love story.
okay, sorry.
It's a love story between Juan and Gabriella. Now, Juan thought he was
one love
the one. But unfortunately, his jealous ways, Gabriella just got sick of him. Said, I'm going to offload you. Because every time we go to Congo Bongo, Juan, you know what? Some guy looks at me and you just get jealous. You want to fight this guy all the time. I can't do this anymore, Juan.
I'm trying to dance on a table.
You know what?
On the podium from 6 till 7.
You are not the one. For me, you know, I want you out of my life. I enjoy Congo Bongo, just like Fitzy did when he was there for the footy trip. Oh. Just let me go. I want to hook up with Fitzy.
One tequila, two tequila, three tequila, four.
Anyway, Juan, he just couldn't get over it. No, that's...
Sorry, mate, I'm out
so
of here.
Bad.
I'll get my coat.
He just couldn't get over Gabriella. That was the love of his life.
Okay.
So he decided, like all blokes do, I mean... Every now and then you want to maybe spy on Gabriella just to see how she's going.
He checked her phone.
He took it a little bit too far, though, because Juan dug a tunnel underneath Gabriella's house. took him a few weeks.
Do a bank first, mate.
A tunnel underneath her house, and he wanted to get a great vantage point in the house just to see if Gabriella was bringing anyone home from Congo Bongo.
Mate, just buy a teddy with a camera in the eye.
Anyway, Gabriella heard scratching noises. At first, she thought that it was her cats underneath the house mucking around. But when the sound grew louder, she investigated and found one... He was trapped below. It had caved in on him.
Oh, no.
And he was trapped. And he was going, Gabriella, help me, help me. So she went down.
What are you doing under
my authorities.
Floor?
They got there. He stunk of booze.
Oh, no.
He'd come straight from Congo Bongo to finish off the tunnel.
Drink before you dig.
And then next thing you know, he was arrested.
No.
It's a horrible story.
When you're at home and you hear that under your floorboards, it's just this coming from under your floorboards.
The scratching going
It's always
on.
A concern. When you hear your own name being called from under your house.
I just wanted to check up on you.
Oh, come on, mate.
That was my best Mexican voice.
Oh, I loved it. What is the sexiest accent around the world? You know when you meet somebody at a bar and they've got an accent, you think, oh, God, this is a bit exotic. I'm a culture vulture. What part of Europa are you from? Maybe I could buy you something fancy because you're cultured.
Oh,
do you guys
gosh.
Get that
no,
feeling?
No.
Am I talking to myself?
Nope, never been in that situation before.
And you go, hang on a minute. You're not from around here. Maybe you could teach me a bit of c'est la vu or a bit of c'est la vie. Kefale, principessa.
Stop.
Or just, how about we French kiss?
Why are you talking like that?
That's just my... That's
because you do go in and out of the Australian accent. It depends on who you're around.
Oh, yeah. It depends where I am, mate.
You know,
if I'm fishing, like if I'm doing a fishing story, I'm a bit more ocker.
Yes. If you're back at Scotch College, it changes.
A bit British.
Yeah, it does. It does a little bit.
So bad, the royal family.
Oh, well, if it isn't the old boys.
Oh, gather round, chaps. Anyway, it's been revealed the sexiest accent in the world. Before I announce it, though.
Yeah, can you please, you've done some research into this, haven't you? Because it's a bit dodgy.
If you're an Aussie, don't call the show. Because you came in at number 5, right? And we've got enough examples of that on this show. Thank you, Ryan James Fitzgerald, the greatest Aussie in this nation. So we want you to sell in your nationality as the sexiest accent. Jackie in Baulkham Hills, welcome.
Hi.
All right, go ahead with your
Jackie,
accent.
Jackie, can you just tell us a bit about yourself, your age, what you do with yourself?
I'm 47 and I... I'm a payroll manager.
Yep.
You've said enough for me, you Kiwi.
That is magnificent, Jack. How long have you lived over here for, Jack?
I've lived here for 10 years.
10 years.
You're automatically...
So you can probably tell I've got a great Aussie accent.
No, you're automatically a bit funny too with a Kiwi accent. I think that plays into your favour.
Jackie, is it true? What is it? A certain part, if you go to another country and you get that accent, isn't it by the age of 13 or something that you can actually change your accent to blend in with
Wherever
those people?
Are.
Does your family pick up your Aussie accent at all when you go back home?
Some people think I might a little bit, but I disagree with them. I don't think so at all.
Love the thump.
I don't think I've changed my accent.
Thanks, Jack. Hold on the line, all right. Gaetano in Piemont. How are you, Gaetano?
Buongiorno, guys. How are you?
Oh, Gaetano.
Now, can we also, the reason Gaetano has rung the show, but we see Gaetano every day. He makes our coffees downstairs at the building here in Piermont as well. I mean, you, I must admit, there's a calming, I don't know, feeling that I get when I go down to see you, Gaetano. Do people comment on your accent when they're getting coffees off you?
Of course they do. I reckon it's the sexiest and most romantic accent in the world.
How you doing with the ladies, Gaetano?
Oh, I'm taken now. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, good news.
Can you also...
Yeah, but there's always room for more, though.
All right, mate. Stick to the beans.
Can you give us a sexy line that you use, Gaetano, when you were single in Italian for us?
So I'd say, ciao bella, come stai?
Oh,
awesome. Molto bella.
Ooh, yeah, that just sounds good. Like an Aussie doing
that's
it.
That's sexy.
Thanks, Gaetano.
Stick to your lattes, Gaetano. Mandy in Wollongong. Hi, Mandy.
Hi, how are you?
Tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh, I work at Mascot and I'm a warehouse coordinator.
You're a coordinator?
A warehouse coordinator.
Oh, Mandy, you're a beauty.
Mandy, are you putting it on a little bit for us on the show or is that actually...
No, I talk like this all the time and my workmates have to, I have to repeat things at work.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're like words what I say, like I say, bucket. I'm a bit like Sam Burgess. I come from the same area as Sam Burgess and they like it when I say bucket or cupcake or yoghurt.
Have you met Sammy Burgess before from the Rabbitohs, Mandy?
No, but he lives near me boss. He lives behind me boss. So my boss talks to him.
My boss, okay. Where
exactly are you from, Mandy?
Yorkshire.
From Yorkshire.
Mandy, do you find the Aussie accent on men sexy?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, this is straight up. We clearly understood you then, Mandy. What about Mark from Menai? G'day, Marky.
What's going on, guys?
Tell us a bit about yourself, Marky.
Oh, I'm a waiter. I moved down here about 4 years ago. Mm. But I'm telling you, the American accent's the sexiest one.
Well, it is.
According to you, Mark.
Mark, what are the key words that Aussies get wrong when we go over to America that you cannot understand what we're saying, Mark?
Oh, aluminium.
Because you say aluminum.
Aluminum. Yeah. All right, okay. Water, when I ask for a water over in the States, they have no idea what I'm saying, Mark.
Yeah, well, when we asked for a president, we couldn't get that one right either, so it's understandable.
That's a fair call.
Luce, what do you reckon so far from a girl's point of view? From what do you like in a male?
I like an English accent. I'm thinking Hugh Grant, that kind of a style.
Sort of traditional
prim and
British.
It's not prim and proper. He's not prim and proper.
He is.
Think like Notting Hill. Yeah. He was kind of your average bloke there.
Yeah,
and his accent.
Not from Yorkshire.
He's a fumbly loser.
Oh, okay.
I'm
not talking about Hugh Grant himself. I'm talking about that accent. I also actually don't mind a South African accent.
Okay. Yeah,
what about Marisol,
what,
is it?
Marisol. Hello, mate.
Marisol. Am I saying that incorrectly?
No, okay. You know, Marisol's correct. That's the name.
Hello, obviously, Marisol.
Marisol's not there. No, that's fine.
Well,
okay. Marisol. It's female. Sorry. I thought it was a male. Can you tell us a bit about yourself, Marisol?
Yes. I'm 40 years old. My country is Colombia, South America. I have my husband and my daughter. My daughter born here. I work in an office in pathology in North Shore.
Yeah.
And nearly every day somebody come in from the patient and say, oh, my God, what is your country? Oh, my God, your accent is beautiful.
Yeah, you've got me stumped. Where are you from, Marisol?
Colombia.
I did hear a Colombia in there. So, Marisol, have you found an Australian man?
No.
No.
In my beginning in Australia, I found South American men. From Chile. We speak Spanish very similar, but the words are really different.
Okay, yes. Got you.
Okay. All right, do you want to drum
on? You've got to tell us what was voted the sexiest
number
accent.
Number five was Australian. Number four was Italian. The Irish came in at three. Number two was South African for your loose. Number one, the Kiwis took it out.
One more theory. We're quite a fiddly-looking shaped country, a bit like a half-eaten lamb chop. Perhaps people are just leaving us off, thinking we're a mistake.
Was it conducted by a New Zealand company?
Doesn't matter, mate. Doesn't matter. Well done.
Hey, I don't mind when I go interstate. I don't mind jumping on the old electric scooter.
Oh yeah,
that each council has in the city there, and you can go and have a look around. Scooters, the bikes, the lime scooters and the lime bikes as well.
Mate, my old man, one of his buddies has started taking the scooters home. Like, they'll go to someone's house for a dinner party. He's 65 and he gets on the lime scooter and takes off home.
Yeah, but see, you can still
full
get
as a state school.
You can still get DUI.
You can, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. It's still a vehicle.
Mm.
It's like you can get done on your push bike.
Yeah, that's right.
You can get done on a horse if you've had too much to drink. You can.
If you're riding around the suburbs.
I'd try to ride Mackayver Yediva home a couple of times after a big day in Ramwick. And got done, unfortunately.
Weird day.
So I cannot believe the effort that people go to. So up in Brisbane, right, they've got the Lime scooters and the Lime bikes.
Yep.
So a group
We've got them here. We've got both of them here.
Yeah. A group of vandals have actually gone to a lot of effort to hack in. Apparently there's automated messages that when you jump on the scooter or the bike, there'll be messages that'll say, you know, welcome or where do you want to go or some people on the scooters, they'll try to use the scooters without paying.
Right.
And there'll be an automated message going, no, you need to go to this website first and you need to...
Sure, download the app.
They'll give you directions. It's an automated message that's built into the scooter.
Right.
So these vandals have hacked into that audio. So every Lime scooter up in Brisbane at the moment play different messages.
Right.
Now, it's someone putting on an accent. This guy up in Brisbane, he's tried to jump on the scooter without paying for it. So you can actually hear the guy pushing around on the scooter. So as he's pushing on, this is the hackers and this is the automated message that you hear when you try to steal a scooter.
Hey, what you do to me? Why you move me? Hey, put me down. Wait, leave me alone. No, you put me down right now. You don't pay the dollars to take me away. Hey, seriously, you go to jail, sir. I call the police on you right now. Okay, and hang on.
They ring the police.
You're done it now, big boy.
Police emergency, this is Simone.
Hello, yes, someone take me. I don't know where I'm going. Please come.
Your address.
My address? I don't know where my address is. I only have the GPS location. I send it to you right now.
All right, I'm just going to bring that up on my map. It might be a moment.
Okay, please hurry, though, because I don't know where he take me. They move me from my original spot. I go missing on the map.
How long has he been missing?
Not only about the 30 seconds, but I please send the police right now.
It's a clever idea.
But just to go to the effort to do that and then hack in and put that into every scooter.
Mate, it's a publicity stunt. That's exactly what they've
done.
But
what are they promoting?
The Lime scooters. So you and I will talk about it on radio and go, have a listen to this. That's exactly what they've done.
Why do you have to put on the accent?
Huh? Because I think they're going for a comical angle, which died out in the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why what was it?
Fortune Cookie Friday.
Whatever it was called.
Fortune Cookie Friday.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy was, but we got rid of him. We said, mate, that comedy's dated.
He left about 6 years ago, didn't he?
Not in this studio.
That is a lot of effort.
I marched him out.
Come on, Sydney Vandals, you need to step up to the mark. We love Sarah McGilvray on this show.
Every bit of her.
But you may have heard that she hasn't been in this week, and that's because she has got, some more pressing matters on her mind at the moment, and that is getting rid of a child that is in her inside of her.
Giving birth.
That's the other way of doing it.
Not getting rid of it. No, it's not a problem. It's planned,
So this morning we came into work, and around about, it would have been about 5:10 this morning, we received a text message from Sarah. Shall we play a little game of which Fitzy and Whipper team member did Sarah name her baby after?
Couldn't believe it.
Everyone started throwing out suggestions. We didn't hear anything back from her. And then all of a sudden, Tom goes, lock her in. At 8 o'clock today, she's coming on the show to reveal Sarah McGilvray. Welcome!
Sarah!
Hi, guys. Can we start with a minute silence for Tyrion Lannister? I can't believe he got
you. Oh, mate. Hang on, mate. Says if you weren't a team member, if we weren't celebrating you this morning, we would have dumped that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know anything.
How could you miss it? Anyway, it's been a busy few hours in my world. It has.
What time did the baby arrive, Says?
Well, it was just after 11 o'clock last night, so I was sort of having contractions in bed the night before, but they weren't anything and they were sort of coming and going. Mm-hmm. And then we came to the hospital about 7 o'clock, and by 11, when I was screaming for an epidural and they said, oops, we've run out of time, there's a head.
No way.
So that was a quick labour?
Well, in the end, I guess, yeah, 5 hours. But a big shout out, obviously, the team at RPA, amazing. Yeah, I was. Poor Gary is just traumatized. He said to me this morning, you really went primal for a minute there.
Yeah.
Oh,
what
really?
Does that mean?
Well, hey,
yeah, he said, you made noises I've never heard before. I was like, oh, dear.
That is the essence
of birth. We just got a text message from Gary saying, who wants to wet the head with me and Steve Dixon tonight?
Several Scotches to get through what he saw.
Meet you at the pubic bar.
Okay, now Sarah, we need to talk about this because you have you actually named the child after a Fitzy and Whipper team member?
Well, yeah, sort of, because this is someone who we really love, and I haven't even told you guys whether it's a girl or a boy, but everyone I've ever met with this name is just the loveliest person on the planet.
So it's not Matt. We know that much.
So, yeah, you can rule out the group. There's no name here after
him. Well, Sarah, we've written down our suggestions.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so Sean thinks Tom. Nicolina thinks it's Lucy. Lucy says it's Tom.
Tom's hot.
Maddie DeGroote says it's Nicole, similar to Nicolina.
I just don't think there's any way you would name it after a team member directly because that team member would never, ever let you forget it. And you don't want that on you.
That's welcome back. How are you, buddy?
Tom says it's Lucy.
Yep.
Now, Leno and I have gone David, and there's a bit of a theory. You did kick this off, but there is a theory behind this. Can you tell Sarah what your theory is?
Well, no, I just said David because no one knows that my name is David because I'm Leno on the team. It's not really part of the team.
Sure.
But then you guys jumped in with some father
lineage. Yeah. Well, yeah, that is my dad's name.
That's
so
right.
That would be a solid guess.
And because your first child, William, is named after Gary's father.
That's right. And so I've guessed Gaetano says, because I know that you love the coffee man downstairs.
Yeah, no, I'm really missing his burnt coffee.
So it's not Gaetano? Okay, we can rule that out.
All right, so Sarah, drum roll. Here we go.
It has to be Thomas.
Oh! What a tribute! Boy number two
what
says, that is amazing.
Sarah, I'm touched. It's not about me, but I'm touched.
Well, we love you to pieces, obviously, and hopefully he could be half as sweet as you are.
And twice the man.
You don't usually treat Tom like that when we get off air, Sarah.
Just quickly, though, Whipper, how offended are you really on a scale of 1 to 10, given that you take full credit for my relationship with Gary and obviously subsequent children? Did you think Michael was a shirt?
You know what? I'm disappointed. I mean, I guessed William the first one, and I was happy about that.
Yeah.
I messaged you on holidays, and I said, Charlie, lock it in. Nice.
Yeah,
I did.
Charlie?
Did I go with Charlie?
What, you having a big holidays, were you?
that could be. And I was trying to guess. And then Sarah sent me a message last night saying, by the way, I did not put a nude playing card in your dad's shorts.
We're on our way to the hospital and I get in the car and I'm having contractions. I'm not in a great headspace. And there's you blaming me for putting a nude playing card in your dad's swimmers or something.
Well, I would have claimed it, though, Sarah. That's a good one. It was Tom. We found out it was Thomas.
Thomas.
And we are due for little Thomas to bring us some joy like that as well. Congratulations,
well done, Sez.
Thanks, guys.
All right, as a tribute, we're going to play Natalie and Brulia Torn. Did you want us to pick a song or do you want to go with anything in particular?
That's disgusting, Whipper, but thank you so much.
We're so wrapped for you. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Love you lots. I'll see you soon.
I love this. 11 series. It's just a brilliant show. MasterChef, it returned last night. It's back 7:30 tonight on Channel 10. And we love this man, Georgie Columbaris.
Georgie!
Hello, guys. How are you?
You've stepped up again.
Before we kick it off, Georgie, a lot of people, we've had a couple of calls this morning as well.
Yeah.
The project interview last night. Why were you wearing dark glasses?
Why not? Okay, honestly, I've currently gone under two eye operations because a month ago I love squash.
Yes.
I thought Saturday morning I'll play one of my head chefs. You know, I didn't finish until late the night before. Mm. Went in a little bit tired, a little bit underdone, and the ball smacked me right in the eye.
That is dangerous.
So bright lights absolutely punish me at the minute, while this eye's healing.
No.
So yeah, those of you that were thinking I had a big night, I wish,
mate. I wish. I thought they were remaking
Top
Gun.
Look, The three of us look like nightclub owners.
But you did, didn't you? Like South American nightclub owners.
Oh, what's really going on with the MasterChef
team?
We're
getting ready for MasterChef Mykonos.
Oh, I love the idea.
The Kings of Mykonos. You should do that. I mean, you blokes have been flown around the world. I mean, is there anywhere that you want to go, Georgie? You've been everywhere.
We're very lucky, and we've gone to some incredible places because of the show. But this year, what's beautiful about this year is we're not taking the show overseas. We're taking the show around our beautiful country.
Yeah,
so
great.
Celebrating Queensland, celebrating WA. And for me, that's a ripper, you know, because what people do is when they're watching it in Azerbaijan or in Amsterdam, they're booking their flights to come to our great country.
Isn't that awesome? Georgie, what are you seeing in terms of food trends at the moment, mate? Whether it's superfoods or what are people want?
Look, there's no question about it. People are a lot more vegetable focused.
Right, okay.
You know, and that's good. I mean, when you think about the old days, meat was a celebration.
Yes.
You would eat that for Easter, Christmas, someone's birthday, and you'd eat a lot of plant-based diet, and that's great. I'm as long as it's whole food for me, we're all winning. What about you, mate? What are you eating at the minute? That's what I want to know.
I got picked on the other day because my wife Lisa said you don't use the barbecue I bought you enough, and I've got a 4-burner turbo. It's an absolute beauty.
Well, that means more meat, which is good for you.
Yeah,
that's thumbs up.
Yeah, but I've been doing a lot of butterflied prawn on there as well.
Ooh,
and I just put oil and a bit of garlic on it, and then I put them on the hot plate. And
do you leave the shells on?
Yeah, I leave the shells on.
Yeah, beautiful.
I think
beautiful.
I got that right.
What else do you have a crack at?
Do you know
mate?
What I went? I went and
on
bought.
The
I went down to the fish markets here, and I tried to find the biggest octopus I could possibly find, and it weighed. I found one, and it weighed close to 2 kilos, and I didn't know what I was doing. I just thought bigger would be better.
As you chucked the whole octopus,
I put
on the
whole octopus on the barbecue.
Oh,
like,
wow!
You should have seen the size of this thing, Georgie.
Oh wow!
Anyway,
mate, look,
it was terrible.
Time. Yeah, I need to get over and
I threw it out.
A few little tips on
so
that.
The smaller, quite often the smaller things, I think, with seafood, is that right, are tastier?
Yeah, look, yes and no. But, I mean, with the octopus, either there's a couple of rules of thumb in the way to cook it. But on your barbecue, low and slow, because it's like a braising cut of meat. It's like an ossobuco or so, sort of secondary cut.
Yes.
You want to take
marinate
it low and slow.
Yep.
Yeah, I had no idea.
You were talking about Mykonos before. Let's talk about Greece. And we haven't spoken to you, Georgie. Congratulations, mate. You got married. It took you 11 years with your girlfriend. Magnificent girlfriend, Natalie.
Thank you, mate.
We've seen photos. Geez, you had some loose blokes over there. We need to talk about this a little bit more right now. But, I mean, who
disgraced themselves?
Because it wasn't a one-day event as well, was it, Georgie? It was a three-day event or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was three. Look, it was 3 days of fun. And, there was a lot of chefs there, that's for sure.
Yeah, dob someone in,
can
Georgie.
Can we go...
Dob someone
what
in.
Was Moran like?
Because
we
Moran was good. Look, I think generally, across the board, everyone behaved really well and had a lot of fun. Actually, I just got a text from the beautiful Manu Fidel, who was wondering why I haven't contacted him because I'm in town. But him and Miguel are always on fire.
Yeah, the crazy ball.
Of course.
But they had a lot of fun. Look, it was so cool, and it was great to celebrate it with these people that I absolutely adore and love. And you know, something's in the air over there. But let's just say the hotel all these guys stayed at have never ever sold the amount of alcohol done in that week. They're going, what do you people do and where do you come from?
Chefs are famous for a drink though, aren't they?
They definitely are.
So good to have MasterChef back on our screens. It continues 7:30 tonight on Channel 10. Lovely to hear your voice, Georgie.
Mate,
thanks for coming
thank
on.
Thank you so much, boys, and thank you for your always support.
You know what? We've all had... You've got to have at least one relationship in your life where you go, whoa, like, how did I pick her up?
Yeah. And I reckon it's part of the game too, going for that long shot. You know, you want to play that card
for sure.
That is the most beautiful girl in the room.
Do you know what?
I'm going to go and say hello.
There's a lot of people, though, this is the downside of it, that once you do punch above your weight and you land the jackpot, they think they can get it all the time.
Yeah, that's unrealistic.
Unfortunately, you're brought back to earth very quickly. Mm.
But you know what? We've been getting so many entries for Punching Above Your Weight, and you can enter at neighbourfm.com.au. Now, this is off the movie Bad Neighbours. Seth Rogen, Charlize Theron. She's a smart, sophisticated, accomplished, powerhouse diplomat, and he's Seth Rogen. So that is that would have to... Yeah. She's gorgeous, Charlize Theron. So for Seth Rogen to pick her up in a movie like this...
there's a long shot, for sure.
It's just, it's, I mean, it can happen. It can happen. And I tell you what, from the entries that we've been getting, and it also helps that you have $10,000 up for grabs, it's amazing how these guys are holding on to these girls.
All right, we need to speak to this man. Melek in Harrington Park. Hello, buddy.
How you going, boys?
Mate, thanks for your entry. We've had a quick look at the photo you've sent through, and I'll tell you what, you've got to be a hot favourite at this stage. How did you meet your beautiful girl? Oh, it's your wife, is it? Bessie.
Yeah, she, I don't know why, but she said yes when I asked her to marry me.
Oh, mate, she's high school sweethearts, Melek, or?
No, we met in university.
Oh, mate.
Through a friend, yeah.
Melek, what sort of feedback do you get out and about, mate? Are there public comments that are thrown your way, or what do your mates say?
All my mates and all my colleagues at work, previously they called me Mike Tyson because I am punching.
Massively punching.
But I've just been promoted to Muhammad Ali now.
Oh, have you what? The greatest one.
She is stunning.
In your relationship, Melek, have there been times where you've doubted yourself?
I'd like to think no, but every time you go out, there's always the odd people that look and say, what the hell is she doing with this guy? Must be rich or something like that.
Why is she here with her brother?
Tommy, are we putting this up? Are we putting this relationship up on our Instagram account so people can see?
Yeah, we'll get it up there now. Well, it's unbelievable.
The Fitzy and Whipper Instagram account. Melek, no, I mean, you're an all right looking bloke, and obviously by the sounds of it, your lovely personality and stuff as well. But Bessie is, I mean, she is...
very attractive.
Gorgeous.
She's a long shot.
Yeah, mate, long shot.
Yep, well done.
You have... hit the jackpot there, bro, and I would stick with that one. Well done, mate.
Don't go anywhere,
mate. You are in the running for $10,000. Lisa's given us a call from Fairfield as well. Good morning, Lise.
Good morning, Fitzy.
Are you punching above your weight, Lise?
Am I punching above my weight?
Okay.
Or is my husband punching above his weight? I'm
You know what? When I didn't even realise it was you when you picked up the phone, and then I thought, oh my God, this annoying woman has got annoying kids in the background. Tell those two to shut up.
You're my Seth, babe.
I mean, there were
thanks, when
you guys. Am I your Charlize Theron?
Oh yes,
without a doubt.
There were moments at those Nova events when I must admit, Lisa, I looked over a couple of times, and you were a bit proper on your feet. You'd had a few. Does that help when you first meet someone like Whipper?
No.
I was drunk for the first 6 months of our relationship.
Well, if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. But a lot of people say we are a fair match. They look at you and they go, she's attractive. They look at me and they go, yeah, I get it for sure.
Dude.
He's hot.
Yeah, I think your personality...
Don't say personality.
...then makes us equal.
Nah, it's rig. It'd be my rig.
It's your rig.
It's your head and my rig. Oh. Perfect balance.
Man. Well, I'm looking after two kids. I think their balance is starting to get a bit more equal.
Yeah.
Darling,
don't
speak
like
there
that.
Sunday mornings, Lise, where you do roll over and you think to yourself, what the hell have I done here?
Well, last night when we hopped into bed, you had a look at my underwear and went, oh my God, what is this?
Hey, can we just talk about this really, really quickly?
Yeah, go.
Does any other man in this world have underpants for bedtime and underpants for daytime?
Oh.
His bedtime underpants have no elastic because it says it annoys him. So all of his underpants for bed are all baggy around the waist.
Yeah, the elastic's gone. No, it's because you want real... Because, honey, they're like actually wearing comfy pajama pants because you've just got sort of loose material instead of anything too tight around you. You don't want anything too tight when you're in bed. Shut those kids up.
Just wear they're whacking each other with a giant block pig.
Okay. Giant block pig gets in the way. Sorry.
You were safe there.
Do not call Whipper a giant block pig. He's your husband.
Thanks, darling.
Thanks, Lisa.
Bye, guys.
You're in the running for $10,000, Lisa. Well done. Thanks for entering.
All right.
We know he's a little bit of a different cat. I mean, yeah, he's a genius, isn't he? Socially a little bit awkward as well. No, we've seen photos as well. We've spoken about this. He got married out in the backyard. Remember that? He had a couple of fairy lights up in the trees.
Bucks.
I know, it was quite a... But see, you know what, some people... I think Bill Gates is the same as well. Hasn't he told his kids as well, you won't be seeing any of the money?
Buffett still lives in his old home that he bought in the 60s. Tell me, what's he worth
I think
now?
Warren Buffett still drives around an old car.
That's right. He's not giving anything to the kids either. And the son's like this struggling musician who wants to get a couple of tracks down.
Buffett's $88 billion.
What about Zucker's?
Zuckerberg.
Find out, Tom. He's not as much as that, is he?
Yeah, he's 81.
Oh, God, battle of the 80s.
He's catching.
And then Jeff's up at the 100, isn't he?
Yeah, yep. 14.
The big boy.
What's Clive Palmer? Oh, no.
Clive's doing all right. He's back.
Okay, so Zuckerberg has put this up on Instagram. Mistake you own Facebook, mate. So he's built a glowing wooden box for his wife, Priscilla. Now, okay, this is the Instagram post.
What do you mean?
Okay. Zuck. So his Instagram username is Zuck.
Lads.
What the Zuck? Being a mum is hard. How would you know, Zuck? And since we've had kids, Priscilla has had a hard time sleeping through the night. She'll wake up and check the time on her phone to see if the kids might wake up soon, but then knowing the time stresses her out and she can't fall back asleep. So I worked on building her what I call the sleep box. It sits on her nightstand, and between the hours of 6 to 7 a.m., it emits a very faint light, visible enough that if she sees it, she'll know it's okay and it's not time to get up for the kids. But faint enough that the light won't wake her up if she's still sleeping. And since it doesn't show the time, if she wakes up in the middle of the night, she knows, I'll just go back to sleep.
Oh, hang on
so
a minute.
There it is there. So it's over the alarm
clock. It's a wooden box.
It's a wooden box with a little glowing light that comes on between 6 to 7 a.m. If she rolls over and looks at that, she goes, oh, okay, well, I'll just go back to sleep now. And she doesn't stress herself out by looking at the time.
I'm a bit confused.
I've got a few more hours before the kids wake up.
So if she wakes up and the light's not on, does she think it's before the light came on or after the light's meant to be on if it's only on for a certain time?
It's confusing.
Like if I wake up and I go, the light's not on yet, I go, has it been on or is it coming?
Well,
and
I am. It comes on between 6 to 7, yeah. So you do know when the time.
Yeah, but if I wake up at 1 past 7 and the light's not on, how do I know it's not 5 a.m.?
Well, that's the thing.
Then I'm stressed, man.
It's confusing.
I'm like, going, what, have the kids slept in or is it really early?
She's stressing herself out by sleeping next to you in a bed. Buy her a new house, mate. You know what I mean? She can sleep in that with the kids.
I just keep Googling what my husband's worth and then going back to sleep.
He doesn't own Google.
Oh, that's the thing. That was the different one.
Bing.
Okay, sorry.
I think he owns Bing.
I'd love to do the phone topic, Tommy. I don't know if we've got time or if this is on the run sheet.
What has your husband built for you?
Yeah, a bit of DIY. No, more to the point, what have they made for you? What has your loved one made for you? Because I told you about the time Laura, a girl I was seeing, we decided not to spend any money on Valentine's Day and we made each other gifts. And she made me a paper mache heart, which was just beautiful. And I made her a wooden necklace, which she just sent to me a couple of months ago. She
you
sent
were 32
it back
at
to
the
me.
Time, which
no,
was a bit
I was
weird.
A young pup. I was probably 20 at the time and I had a couple of tools in the
You're
shed.
You're making paper mache hearts?
No, she made the paper mache heart. I made the wooden necklace, which was almost like a shark's tooth.
Who wears a wooden necklace? I've never seen a wooden necklace.
Out there. What, I mean, they were in fashion at the time.
Do you have it? Did you keep it or chuck it out?
She sent it to me. She was moving house and said, I found this. I assume you want it back. I was insulted she wanted to part with it.
I mean,
she had an original whip flea.
When you making gifts, let's be honest, that stops when you hit your teenage years, doesn't it?
No,
making
it's a
gifts,
nice thing.
No, it's a primary school
I made
school
a dress
thing.
For her, too. I made a dress out of towels. Like terry toweling. Because I always thought the terry toweling was so practical.
She'd still have that hang up in the wardrobe. Awesome.
Bit of cross-stitch. Got the Janome out. Wasn't afraid, mate. I'd done scrunchies with my sisters.
She could clean her car with her dress.
She could, Tommy. And if you're at a barbecue, just wipe your hands on your dress.
Is this in between
really
catching
quite...
butterflies and watching Sex in the City with your sisters?
Surprised I wasn't kicked out of home. When did Dad go, hang on a minute, we got a weird one on our hands?
Yeah, I reckon it would have been when you were holding up the terry toweling dress.
We got a weird one. Check this in with us. On Nova.